Thanks for joining us for episode 46 of Dice and Dens, The C-Team. We'll be finishing off the last bits of Bladoolpulp Rising and moving into a pirate adventure called The Shanty of Boldbeard's Pride by Jimmy Merritt. It's been a while since we did a C-Team adventure, but I'm not giving Wizards any more money, and I already bought this content, so it'd be a waste not to use it. We plan on continuing Barely Normal as well, so don't you worry. This year will be our fifth Meowrathon fundraiser for our local no-kill shelter, Simply Cats. It will be on Friday, April 26th through Sunday, April 28th. For more information on participation and to join the Discord, visit meowrathon.com. That's meowrathon.com. You can find Of Dice and Dens on Twitter at odndpod, on Facebook at odndpodcast. Feel free to email us at odndpod@gmail.com. Visit our website at odndpodcast.com. And if you want to buy some merch, go to shop.odndpodcast.com. I'm looking to do some special 5th anniversary Meowrathon stuff soon, so keep an eye out for that. Of Dice and Dens is part of the Stolen Dress Podcast Network, where you can find OD&D Presents, the Dan Jay's Comedy Hour podcast, Hosts with Their Own Picard. We're hoping to pick that up again and start checking out Strange New Worlds. Or Brave New Worlds? Brave New World. Whatever it is. The Pike one. The good, that really good one that everyone likes. I've seen the first two episodes, so I'm going to be like the newbie. The other two have seen it a lot. You can also find Press Play and Scream, reading books in the public domain, Lost in the Library, and in the archives you'll find Comedy on Vinyl, What's With You Scooby-Doo, The Professional Blur, and many more. Music in this episode was created by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.filmmusic.io and was used under Creative Commons Attribution License.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the, who are we even? Of Dice and Dens.
Existential podcast.
The existential podcast. Who am I? Who are we as a group? This time around, after a significant boycott of Wizards and accidentally just not recording anything much over the last few months, we are going to do a return to the C-Team, but I'm not buying any more books or anything. I feel like at this point, recording a podcast using the materials that I paid for already is not a bad thing.
Dan is boycotting the concept of reading. You heard him first. He's never buying another book.
Forever ago.
Anti-reader.
No books.
What is Reading?
Oh, Christ.
It's a town in
I'm British,
Oregon.
Sorry.
It's the town Jeff's wife is from.
Yeah,
there it is. So yeah, the C team, and let's introduce. I am the DM Dan. Hello, how you doing? And across from me,
the DM Dan,
the Dungeon Master.
I'm Airy. I play Elishana. Dan's least favorite character, apparently.
Whatever. And then in Washington,
I'm Jeff. I play Fiznik the Gnome. And I would like to point out that when we started this thing 5 years ago,
something like that,
Kimberly was in the room with you guys.
That is true. Well, but then the panini happened,
and then
we upgraded her like crazy.
And I got myself a Yeti, so now I don't have to leave the house.
Yeah,
which is good because there's a lot of snow right now.
Oh, my God, it's the worst.
It just clicked when you said across from me and then not And to the right of her. Yeah.
Well, let's go to that one next.
To me?
To the very, very far, maybe right? I don't remember. Of me.
I'm trying to visualize. I'm trying to, like,
I'm facing our kitchen window, if that helps.
Kimberly is for sure.
Or the dining room window, I mean.
Okay, then
she's a leftist all the way.
Yeah. I'll have to think about what direction that puts you from me at this point. Or yeah, anyway.
Hi. Anyway,
I play Nadia. I'm a centaur. I hit things with a sword. I'm not super bright, and I have a really cool robot suit.
That's accurate.
Robot suit.
Yeah, remember we the Qualish suit?
Nope. I don't remember that at all.
Vaguely.
I do.
I don't remember what it does, but I just know I have it.
Oh, I just know the sound it makes when it takes a man's life.
Yep.
Yep.
And then across the country from us, the other direction.
Hi, it's me, Jason, the real DM, and I play a character called what's his name. I'm in control of this whole thing, and I have been this whole time. Dan is merely a puppet.
That sounds true.
I'm merely a cog in the machine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dan is just pawn in Game of Life. And D&D, apparently.
Hi, next I'm Jen.
Near, sorry.
That's okay. I play Grin, the rogue hobbit.
All right, I'm a human and I'm a bard. Bye.
Welcome, everyone, back to the world. How was your character slumber?
Welcome everyone back to the world. This is Dan is AI from now on. We forgot to tell everybody.
Yeah, that's why I'm his puppet.
Yep,
he's just typing in prompts.
Yeah.
Welcome Jason's everyone back to the world. We got him on.
So
team.
I'll share this at the top of the game so that no one is surprised. But due to changes in life, Fiznik is going to be leaving us after this game.
Bullshit.
What? This new information I'm hearing for the first
boycott,
time.
Boycott. Protest. Everyone should boycott
us
this
or Jeff?
This podcast.
Boycott
everybody
Jeff.
Boycott.
Don't listen to him anymore.
So. We will. Yeah.
Moment of silence for Jeff.
And Jeff told me to figure out how that's going to happen, so that's
oh,
cool.
Oh, shit.
You left it up to the worst person.
Right? I said, I don't know, surprise me. But what
you
he
never
doesn't...
say that to a robot. I mean, a puppet.
But what he doesn't remember, or maybe what he does, is I have the wish from Sean, plus I have a magic lamp. And a flying carpet. So,
are you going to show me the world?
Nights.
Dan picks the most controversial song to start singing.
It's the theme of the movie.
Yeah, that's the one everybody looks at. It's the one they definitely put in the Will Smith version. Yep. Mm-hmm. Good call, Dan.
Ariana,
I'm sorry. I thought
put
I was...
your phone away. No, you have lost your privileges.
I get one more strike.
Sit on your phone.
And put your hands under your butt.
But then I can use it still.
Also, Jen, I was listening to some of the earlier episodes so I could put together that Kanka page.
Why did I just get a text from Ari that says, "Hi, I'm Ari's butt"? What just happened?
And
I have a prehensile butt.
One of the things I forgot that you had was a trick die that always rolls the number you're thinking of.
Oh my gosh.
Why don't we have that in real life?
Mm-hmm. I didn't even... Wow.
That was literally from the very first treasure hoard you ever found.
That is amazing.
I'm just mentioning that because...
Somebody should write these things down.
I know.
Right? Who has the time?
Speaking of writing down, where the hell is my character sheet? Fuck.
I have been putting them in my OneNote, but I didn't have them in the OneNote at the time you first got them.
Oh, yeah. It's on, like...
Anyway,
Dropbox,
who here remembers what happened last time?
I don't know about last time, but I know, like, at some point...
How about just in general, because no one's going to remember what happened last time.
I remember dolphins.
I remember
dolphins. It's accurate.
We were on, like, a hot air balloon or an airship or something.
I remember that.
No.
That was fun.
No, fuck you. Didn't we have like a flying ship of something?
Can I take inspiration away from you, really, for that?
That absolutely happened.
But that was a while ago.
That was the adventure.
I remember Fog Vampires. That.
Oh.
That was the Qualish adventure. The last adventure
was the Fog Vampires.
Bladul Pulp Rising.
Oh, mm-hmm. That wasn't the same thing. Thing.
So no, fishy
this
people.
Is the ones with the Kuatoa where you invented a god.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. I found my character sheet, BT Dubs.
So you completely went off book, is what happened last time. You went there to rescue Baria, the cleric of Helm, I believe it was.
Right?
That's what I am.
And you went to go rescue her, and she got turned into like a half god by the Kuatoa because of their special ability. So she was having a mental struggle, and you guys were able to basically, since you helped invent a god with them, you're able to basically convince half cave to follow you, and then you battled Bladul Pulp and defeated him and rescued Baria. Grin and wanted to say Baron, but that's not correct. Byron left right before the final battle because you actually killed a Kuatoa for the first time, and it didn't seem right because you probably could have coerced him. But then after you defeated everyone and came out, Sean ascended even more because basically everyone in the cave now believes in him, and he brought the two Kuatoa you killed back to life. And then the end of that episode, he said he's not all powerful, but he will grant you a wish as best he can. And then I said, think about what wish you want. And then you guys have had more than half a year to think about it.
And we probably
and I'm sure you guys have really thought deeply about this decision.
So. Yeah, even though Ari and I came up with almost the exact same joke. That's fine. Yeah.
Look, well, it's going to work eventually.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but Fiznik, though, is the one with the actual genie, so.
Yeah, we're going to do Fiznik last.
And a bubble pipe.
And a bubble pipe.
Ooh.
Fiznik's going to ask for a 401k like his wife.
All right, so we're going to start. Sean the Worm, you know, to reiterate, he says, go ahead, make a wish. Who would like to go first?
Was that his voice?
I think so. Once he ascended. I actually didn't listen to the last episode, so.
Damn it, Dan.
Smooth move.
If not you, then who?
Good question.
Mm. I'll go first.
Okay.
I don't remember my voice either.
That's been it's just you, but dumb.
Aw, thanks, sweetie. That's like the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I mean, for you.
That's not gonna help. There's some heavy dice.
There are some heavy dice. But I have the real pointy ones.
Okay, but Elishana steps... Wait, are we still underwater or are we on the beach?
No, you went back to the town.
So, okay, I need to know how private this conversation is.
I mean, if you guys want it to be private, you can relocate, but you're basically in the town square right now.
With everyone around us?
Yeah.
Like... cheering?
Yeah, he literally just got back, rescued everyone.
It's like at the end of Return of the King.
Yeah.
You bow to no one.
I wish for, what's his name to have a million wishes? No, just psych.
Don't worry, it's not genie rules.
It's too much paperwork to have a million wishes.
It really is. I have to keep track of every single one and I have no hands.
No, what'd be worse is if it was like our old flex card for insurance, and we have to
keep track of everything and put in a
reimbursement request every time.
You have to make the wish happen yourself, and then he reimburses.
Oh, that sounds horrifying! I hate it so much. All right, so I look at my friends, and then I step up to the worm. How big is the worm again? He's big.
Pretty big, because Jay basically he could fit him into a 5-foot cube, and he basically did.
Okay. So he's big for a worm.
He's taller than you.
I mean, he's big for an earthworm, but probably small for like one of those worms from like.
I'm taller than
five. Because think about it, like curled up. He's curled up in a cube, but then he can straighten out.
Oh, I see. He's that kind of worm. Mm-hmm. He's not just thick.
Yeah.
He's tall and skinny.
He's long and girthy.
Ew. No. If we cut him in half, could we?
You guys know you missed it.
If we cut him in half, will we get two gods?
Good question.
Two wishes?
Oh my god, that's so much better than anything I came up with.
Oh my worm, that's so good.
All right. Elishana, like, puts her. I don't even know what this is called. But she, like, makes two finger guns and taps them together. No. She kind of steps up close to the worm, and she's like, I don't know if you know what a kalashtar is.
I do.
Well, I'm one.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Are you an all-knowing god?
I'm semi-omniscient.
Oh, got it.
I know the things that are useful for story.
But he doesn't know how women think.
Well, does anybody?
All right.
Yeah,
women.
I'm androgynous, you know.
Oh. So I have an entity in my head, and I wonder if I can get rid of him.
Unfortunately.
Does he fold his tail?
He brings his tail up and kind of rubs it under his chin.
Oh.
To thank. He's like, your quarry is unfortunately an inextricable part of your species. What I can do for you is give you this. And he hands you a pair of earmuffs.
How does he hand them to her?
His tail, he holds his tail up, spins it a little bit, and then there's like a golden glow, and they're just floating there, and they float down to you.
Ooh,
gotcha.
To Elishana.
Then he gives her a weighted blanket and a fidget cube.
Yay!
He's like, these earmuffs won't completely prevent the quarry from speaking to you, but they will greatly reduce.
Oh, so they're quarry-canceling earmuffs. Do I need batteries, or do they recharge them?
They are magically powered.
Can they be like the puff part, the ear part, be like white feathers? Like my
he
chickens?
Waves his tail and
yes.
What about cat ears on top? You might as well go for it.
Yes.
And right.
Okay, now there are cat ears.
Now I'm a cat
Yay!
Girl. Thank you.
Cat ear gamer.
And then I give him a deep bow and then shuffle backwards while still in the bow.
Do you still have Frufru Stella, by the way? Because you haven't mentioned that since you freaked out back in Blackpool.
She probably left her at home with Dagmar.
Mm. Bro, like, take good care of her. Make sure you feed her twice a day.
Yep. And then Dagmar's like, feed her? As I leave without explaining how.
Uh-huh.
Really, you put Miracle-Grow in a bath and then just put her in there. Hi, Viz.
All right, next.
All right. Navia will say, I want to see Rinna.
She just yells it from the sidelines?
No, because I figured they were all just kind of like standing there. Like, I don't know. She approaches the worm or whatever and is like, I want to see Rinna.
Okay.
Approaches the worm or whatever, okay?
So, God. I don't fucking know.
So, he says, very well. And he does his little magic tail spin. And in a flash of light in front of you, Rinna appears.
All right. So.
What happened?
The real Rinna?
I was just playing with my friends.
You should pinch her to make sure she's real.
Not gonna pinch her. So who appears is a young centaur, probably in the like early to mid adolescence. She has green hair. She is 100%. Looks quite a bit like Navia. And so yeah, Navia is gonna approach her and like,
Hi, I didn't.
This was not how I expected this to go, but
where have you been?
Well, so these are my friends. We've been adventuring. And I got you this. And I started digging through my shit. Like, let's
see, what? I swear so, it was what, here somewhere. What's
something? Like, do you like a box of oranges?
I believe that's my disguise. Thank you.
Oh, I have in my inventory. I have a trophy from a fallen enemy. I don't know that I've ever like specified what that is. I probably have. Whoever out there is like keeping track of our wiki for us probably has an entry on what that trophy is, but I can't remember.
At the extensive OD&D wiki.
Yeah. Yes. So I pull it out and we'll say it's a. Oh, I feel like maybe it was a dagger. It was a dagger, wasn't it? I think
Daggermar.
Oh, wait, isn't that what we embedded into your sword?
Oh, it is. So I don't have that anymore.
You don't have it anymore.
So I go,
never mind. That's mine.
JK. I go for the pocket of where it was because that's what I'm like. Oh shit, I'm gonna give her that. And I go in the pocket. And it's fuck. It's not there. And I'm like, I got you this. And I start digging in my other pocket and I pull out. What is this blouse of mending? What is that again?
Clothes of mending. This elegant outfit of trouser clothes magically mends itself to counteract daily wear and tear. Pieces of the outfit that are destroyed can't be repaired in this way.
Okay, yeah. I imagine I'm probably not wearing that because pants. But she can't wear either because she can't wear pants.
Well, that's why we made it a blouse instead of an outfit.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'll give it to her as a present. Thanks.
What is your size difference? Is she like about the same size, or is she much smaller than you?
It could be a nightshirt.
That's what I think.
She's a little smaller. Like, I'd say she's probably like 13 to 15.
Thanks. So, like, Mom, a new shirt. Is that why you magicked me away from everyone?
Technically, it was the worm.
What? She turns around and is like, "Oh my god,
worm."
Oh, so child. I asked to see you. So we did something really cool, and we got wishes because we invented a god. And
wait, what? Hold on, what?
We invented a god. Isn't his name that is Sean. No. And he gave me a wish, and I wanted to see you. And I kind of figured like
you couldn't
like,
just. You couldn't just come visit?
I was thinking maybe, like, a magic mirror or, like, a cool portal that might open up and I could look through and be like, hi, but no, he brought you here. So, yay, you're here. I'm so glad you're here. These are my friends. You can't Howdy. See me.
Hi.
You can't see me gesturing.
Hi. And, what's your name?
That's a rough one. What
she kind nice of gives Navia kind of a side look like
it's we don't know
who are you hanging out with.
She can't hang
I'm
out
the reason
with that
I'm the reason this worm god exists though, so that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah,
yep.
Okay.
Want a mead or no? You're too young. How old's too young for mead? I don't know.
In the world of the fake past future,
yes.
I mean they probably you know, like when they're teething they probably put you know, meat or vodka something. Or something on there.
Little yep. Beerba, let them chew on some boba while they're
yep. some boba. Teething. It's good for them.
Not advisable.
No, it's not.
Don't do it.
We tested
Don't
it.
Give them beerba. Well, that was your one wish. Who's next?
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Is she going away or is she staying?
No, she. It's a one.
It's a one-way trip. She got one wish.
Shit.
Yeah, so I kind of like. All right, well, like
you
so
could have
kind of
just like, shown me like, her in a mirror or something.
That's what I was thinking about. So I'm just like, kind of like, okay, you're not sending her back. Great. So I kind of like go over and like kind of lead her over so we can go catch up.
Put your arm around her awkwardly.
Yep.
Who's next?
I'll go. I don't know if everybody's thought of this yet, but I wish for 1,000 more gods. How's that sound? Yes, no?
By definition, I wouldn't be able to create something equal or higher than myself, especially not that significantly higher.
What if it was a 5-foot cube? Each of them 5-foot cubes.
Do you just want a gelatinous...
No, I don't want that. Nope. How would you give me whatever monkey paw thing you're going to give me for my wish? It's fine.
What did we come up with?
Hold Not on. An actual monkey paw, please.
You didn't ask to find out what your name is?
Oh, shit. I just thought it would be fun to mess around, and then I realized some of this is serious.
Here's what I can do. And so he, you know, again, holds his tail up and a little glow appears and just a small ring with just a little smiling face on it appears and it floats down to you. He says, this can create one minor god similar to my powers before... all the Kuatoa believed in me. You can create a minor god, but I can't promise any level of control as it will have its own free will.
All right. Sounds pretty good. Think you could tell my name? Tell me my name. What do you think?
You get one wish.
I only get one wish with him too. Or can he grant me multiple wishes? He might be able to. Oh, or she.
Well, you'll have to figure that out when the time comes.
All right.
Who is next? I suppose that would be Hugh and Byron. Any points to Grin? And then Fiznik.
Well, we've learned a lot about the importance of remembering what we've done. And carrying things with us, but I think it's important for someone who wants to get through certain people that might not have the best of intentions towards us, and sometimes to get past those people, it might have to forget. So I was hoping I could make one person forget one thing maybe once a day.
So he ponders it for a second, says, that is a pretty powerful request, but if it was anyone else asking, I would probably say no. And so he waves his
even
tail.
Me, boss?
Even you, boss. He magically waves his tail and silver amulet with looks like kind of a big emerald in the middle appears and it floats down to you and he's like, just use that amulet and make your request to it. Once a day, you can make one memory disappear.
She made me forget my name already. Oh, wait.
That was quick.
Oh, no. No.
I forgot she didn't.
Okay, can you make him forget that he granted all these wishes?
That's some me shit. Yeah, do it.
Nope.
He's also not a person.
Well, that's rude.
That's rude.
He's ascended beyond that.
You're ascended.
He never was that.
I mean, to be fair.
Plus, worms are just better than people.
And then
worms are people too.
And so then he turns to Byron and he says, what would you like? And Byron goes, I don't know. I guess I wish for
all ask of him the, what my name is.
All you of had the your chance. Kids where I escaped from would be safe. And Sean ponders that for a moment. And he says, what I can do is I can direct someone in their direction who will help them.
Ooh.
And you see his tail waggle. And unfortunately, you don't see anything happen, but you can probably surmise he did something because he has not lied to you yet.
That we know of.
That you know of.
Yeah.
And then he turns to Fiznik. He says, all right, you're the last one. What would you like?
I would like and he thinks about this for a moment, and he's really stuck in analysis paralysis. Because he knows, like, what he's being, his patron has tasked him to do is go out and collect all these powerful artifacts. Like, that's his job, is to accumulate knowledge and magical trinkets and baubles and doodads, and so he's thinking of the most powerful thing he can think of, and he finally says, I would like to visit a museum that has a collection of the rarest magical artifacts in the world.
Are we planning a heist?
One of us is.
Okay.
Because then, I figured just wishing for a deck of many things was not going to end well.
Actually, they did. One of the things introduced, I think it's called the deck of some things, which is like a deck of many things, but less game breaking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to try that again? Do you want that?
Yes.
Do the request that you wanted.
A museum that you can't even touch things. Not as good.
I would like a deck of many things.
Many things.
Deck of several things is what it's called. That's right.
Several things.
There's like three.
All right, right. You know what? I forgot. That was one of the items you potentially could have found in the Laboratory of Qualish. That's why I recognized it. You guys almost found it naturally. So Sean the Worm thinks about your request for a minute. He says, unfortunately, that is an item that is beyond my power to give you. It is magically obfuscated and dispersed across the world. But what I can give you comes from a land you may know, Dawn Glowing.
Land down under.
It is the deck of several things. Mm-hmm. And he does a little magic thing and a deck floats down to you. He says, it is similar to the deck of many things, but not quite as powerful.
Does it? Is it a complete deck? Like, have
it is? It's the complete deck. Been drawn? None of the cards have been drawn. He gave you a fresh deck of several things.
Ooh. I look at it. I gently hold it. You know, I'm tempted to just pull a card.
Do it.
Okay. So I gently, I look at it and I smile it at everybody, and I kind of give them kind of a knowing chuckle and grin and say, you know, I have to try. And I pull a card at random from the deck, and it is
the Fates. Reality's fabric unravels and spins anew, allowing you to avoid or erase one event as if it never happened.
What?
Whoa.
Ooh. Oh, I know what I want to do.
All right.
Realizing the power and the amount of reset given, oh, how much of a dick move is that to everyone else? No, I'm gonna do it.
All right, guys, we're going to see if he's completely changed the game. It's always a risky thing, giving it even the several things.
Think back to one of our early missions. We accidentally let out a beast that killed a whole bunch of druids.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
I am going to set the clock back to just before that mission. So
it doesn't rewind the clock. You just erase that event from happening.
Okay, so I erase that event from happening. So the druids are not massacred. By
that event. Got it.
Yes. Yeah.
By okay. That event, but any other event, well.
And then the card flashes. What druids?
It was like way in the beginning.
When you were what when you were yeah, exactly. So the card sparkles. You can feel a strong magic come out of it. And then it disintegrates in your hand.
Okay.
I feel this strange feeling as though thousands of souls just cried out in joy.
Also, that's not Elishana turns to Grin. Will you shut up about it now?
No, that event never happened. As far as you are all concerned, the druids were fine.
So we don't remember the original timeline?
The only one who remembers is probably Sean, because he's a god, and Fiznik, because he made that request.
Okay. Fair.
Hey, Sean, what did you just do? What? I feel weird.
Like when you climb the rope in gym class?
Yes, exactly right.
Did anyone ever actually climb the rope in gym class, though?
Like, he just saved
to the ceiling.
He just saved hundreds of lives, is what he did.
There were hundreds in there? Just in the forest?
It was an entire village.
Was it like in the movie?
Yeah, similar to like what was in the movie. Yep.
I see.
Saving lives. I know,
when I saw the movie, I'm like, that's exactly what I was picturing. Yeah. Only burnt to the ground.
What if we find out that those guys were listening to our podcast as they wrote that movie?
Those bastards.
I mean, so at least should have gotten cameo.
We did. It's Jornathan. We invented Jornathan. I don't know if anyone remembers, but early on, we had an air cooker named Jornathan.
It was crazy. Hey, we deserve money.
Check out the wiki. It's there. I guarantee you.
Does sound like a bit we would do, to be fair.
To be fair. Which is why I think it was written in to begin with.
In there because almost every D&D group.
They probably had a general idea of what they wanted the movie to be. They played a D&D session. And that happened right at the start because someone's an asshole.
Yep. Wait, what's his name?
Okay.
So wait, as far as we were concerned, did we still suggest the druid village or whatever, the criminal village, or did we?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Well, the event he prevented was the actual destruction of the village.
So what did he do to the griffins?
They just bypassed them instead of attacking them. So when you went to visit the druids, their village was fine.
So are we all like, oh, new memories?
Yeah, you're like, ah!
I got a little bit of a migraine coming on.
Yeah, right? Oh. I remember both memories at the same time.
If I could turn back time.
I thought you were going to try to get out of your contract.
Oh.
What? Oh.
But that was a very selfless decision.
Oh, thank you.
It is better than setting things on fire.
I wasn't trying to be.
Well, you saved me some work because I was trying to figure out how to reintroduce her into the story. So,
reintroduce who?
That druid.
Oh.
I'm like, how's she going to fuck you guys over?
Well, now you have to figure out how she's going to not fuck them over.
Yeah, now you guys' memories are... You went and had like a great dinner, a celebration.
Yeah.
You know, you had the roast beast and
and some earthworm. That was awkward.
I found a corner.
So they're probably all vegetarian, so.
So that was even more awkward. Where'd you guys get that earthworm?
Why are you That was just That was our pet worm. Oh,
shit.
His name is Sean.
Oh my god.
So what's gonna happen to Sean?
What do you mean? He's going to be the god of the Kuatoa.
So he goes back down there? Oh, okay.
He's a worm.
Well, no, I just didn't know if he like ascends to Valhalla or something. I don't know where gods live.
Okay. Well, he's not a full god.
Oh.
He's still working on his membership.
He lives at half blood. It's where all the demigods live or go to in Percy Jackson.
He's not even technically a demigod. He's more of just a minor god.
He's a semi-god.
Yeah, because he's not like half real worm. He was never real until he was god.
He exists only because we made him up.
Yeah.
You made him up and the fish believed him.
That's pretty much how I live my life.
So Sean says, again, thank you for, saving Baria, helping these people, and frankly, helping the Kuatoa. Should you need me?
Yes,
should you need me?
You can call for me, but depending on what's going on and where you are, I can't promise I'll be there, and that's why you have that ring.
I'm not that cool.
And then he kind of just disappears in some sparkles like he's going through the transporter.
Really? I just wanted to see him just like scooch back into the water.
God, he doesn't need to do that.
What? No, but...
and so as he dissipates his essence... you see some Kuatoa show up, and they say, thank you for helping us. we have some treasures if you want to look.
Really? Like a museum?
Like a pile of things that we have collected.
You should curate those better, because, you know, when you pile up a bunch of stuff...
What does this curate?
Gonna... Well, you put it on the wall, like a museum.
What is museum?
Like...
Oh, God.
A place to look at and appreciate things.
Your treasure.
Oh, like our paintings.
Yes.
Yes.
Velvet Elvis doesn't count.
Because remember, they had paintings of all their gods on the walls.
Oh.
Which are probably all erased and now Sean's now.
I thought we were above the water now.
You're right, they came out, I said. Oh.
After Sean left?
Or I think they were there the whole time.
What?
Are they fighting?
No, they're asking you to come get treasures.
We have to go back in the water?
Through the tunnel.
I have trauma now. Fine.
So they lead you guys towards the tunnels. As you go, Fiznik, you see a glowing kind of portal off to the side that is awfully familiar to you.
I assume it goes off to the Feywild.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of saw.
Everyone's kind of distracted. You're in the back, so they're wandering off, and you see that.
Wait, you're just going to leave us without saying goodbye?
Sounds good. Don't see it, right?
Little you bitch. Don't. You're following the Kuoto. He was in the back.
We're taking your share of the treasure.
Yeah. He kind of sighs and looks and watches everybody kind of walk around the corner. And then turns his head and whistles for his dragonette familiar.
Mm-hmm.
To follow him, and then the two of us walk into the portal into the Feywild.
Okay. And as you enter, once again you see the green area with the trees and the grassy throne with the silver fey sitting there.
Mm-hmm. It's
been a while, hasn't it?
It has. It has indeed.
Have you gotten me anything new?
He reluctantly reaches into his pocket and holds up the deck of several things and says, I just got this off of a arguably demigod.
Yes, I saw. But that's not what I'm looking for. I have a new mission for you.
Oh.
You remember those gems you brought me?
I do.
They weren't just gems. They are hearts of the Feywild.
Ooh.
And several more are missing, and I do believe the Winter Court is trying to collect them all to rule the Feywild. Ooh. I need you to go find them before they do. And with that, we begin the new TV spinoff, Fiznik and the Stones of Destiny.
Ooh, the Stones of Destiny. Does that have to do with his testicles?
Yes. From whence Faye and Grey is sending him to save the Feywild.
Complete again.
I'm just imagining like the one shot that I come back for, you know. You're in a bad situation. The lightning strikes. You see this very short figure with a staff. He steps into the light and like the power gauntlet from Marvel.
Yeah.
Avengers with all these Feywild.
We'll bring you back
stones.
At level 20.
Yeah.
The rest of you head back into the Kuatoa lair, and they show you that, I don't know if you remember that area that had all the freaking lobster and clam shells and shit.
Sure.
It's basically their trash pile. Okay. Across from there, they kind of move a rock that looked like it blended in, and you just see just tons of, you know, gold gems, items just laying in there, probably collected over hundreds of years of their civilization. And they're relatively short-lived, so most of them don't even know what's in there. And they say, go find something. It is yours, whatever you find. And with that, we're going to do my item picker. So who wants to pull first?
Does Rena get a pull because I dragged her all the way out here?
Unfortunately not. Aww. It is for the warriors who helped them.
She could pick and go, Fiznik, this is yours.
Oh, darn. Yeah, as you look, you realize Fiznik's not with you.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell?
What? Maybe he's ahead of us in the treasure?
Do you think he dove in like Scrooge McDuck?
Yeah,
he does that.
You know, we might not find him for a while.
Has anyone ever done a realistic Scrooge McDuck jumping into the gold coins?
They did the math and you would die.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm going to delete this statement, but I'm just going to select everything because it's a lot of work not to. I meant to make a version of this that had what I own selected, but, you know, the internet exists, so I'm sure I'll be able to figure out what everything is. Okay. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. So you reach into the pile, roll a d20.
I forgot that there's a dice element to this game.
Hold on.
My dice are in my closet, so I'm going to
Well, I don't know if this means anything or if this coincides with other things on a sheet. I got a one.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a list, so it's any number is just as good as any other number.
Okay, good.
But let's see if this is something that makes sense, because I just selected everything. This looks like something I would have cleaned out if they had categorized it properly, I think. But let's find out. What is it?
I think Kimberly's... Are you still trying to talk, Kimberly?
No.
Oh, okay. I just saw your message on my stupid phone.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden it was blinking, and I'm like, is she talking? Oh, no.
Okay, so yeah, you got...
I don't want to do that. If you close Discord out, it'll catch up on all the messages.
Weird. So you got an empowered mind crystal.
Hmm. What that do?
What that does is, if you are holding the mind crystal when you cast a spell, you can re-roll up to 3 of the damage dice, but you must use the new rolls.
Okay.
Oh.
Once you use it, it just becomes a gem worth 50 gold points.
Interesting.
So it's a single-use item.
Thank you, Fish.
Welcome. What is it?
I'm honestly still confused. The rules of this whole world confuse me, but I enjoy myself. That's what's most important.
That's what's important.
Yeah, whenever I go around, sometimes I'll save a life. Sometimes I'll accidentally kill somebody, or I'll sing a song off key, and somebody will be like, well, he looks like he's having fun.
Everyone just clap.
Yay.
And nod.
And nod. Okay, who wants to go next?
I will. Okay.
Thirteen.
Full disclosure, I used Google because I'm too lazy to get my dice.
You got a hat of wizardry. I may give you the option to re-roll if this seems like completely worthless to you.
Not Slytherin, eh? Are you sure?
You'd look at it and go, well, I don't want this, and throw it back and it disappears into the pile again.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm like,
Yeah, you can use it as a spellcasting focus for your wizard spell, so that's not really... Okay. Although you can try to cast a cantrip, you don't know. But it must be on this wizard spell list, and you must make an intelligence check.
Yeah, my intelligence is...
Yeah, so go ahead and roll again, and just don't get a 13 again.
It was a 9. Well, my intelligence is a plus 2. That's not bad. My wisdom's a 0, though. And my strength's plus 4.
This one looks like it might be fun. You got a propeller helmet. While worn, the helm allows its wearer to use an action to cast the levitate spell, requiring no components. The helm's propeller spins and whirs loudly until the spell ends. Each time the spell ends, there's a 50% chance the helm loses its magic and becomes non-magical.
Oh, I do also have the cape with wings, so...
You do. So, that might... But, yeah, again, that has a cooldown, so... That might be a good emergency backup, right?
Yeah.
You have a 50-50 chance of keeping it.
Dan, can I tell you, after I decided the whole Thousand Gods, you dumb, jokey wish, it occurred to me I should have, like, pulled a... Like, a Pierce Hawthorne and asked to speak to the DM. Like, asked to speak to God. I really wish... Yeah.
All right, who's next?
I think there's only one person left.
Well, no, we've got...
Oh
you're right. Yeah.
me.
You run in?
Yeah, I dive in.
All right, roll a d20. You've had 3 people to get that die out.
None of my those people were here to get my die out. Why do I have to do it myself? 18. I'm dying. Get it? Dying. Hold on, I gotta do ASMR.
Please don't.
ASMR. Too late.
Okay.
It was a die rolling on the microphone thing. Yeah, I know. The filter probably blocked it out.
Ah, damn it. What about this? Hold on. This is the kind of ASMR that Kimberly likes.
Oh, there you go. Clickety clackety, I roll for attackety.
All right, so you found...
That's Aurora's
Jesus.
A white chromatic rose.
How's it white and chromatic?
And chromatic.
Shimmery.
Oh, there you go.
So, like opal?
Iridescent.
Yeah, sure. It's magical, for one. While holding the rose by a stem, you gain resistance to the
rose.
Type
I heard
associated
rose.
With the rose's color. So for you, you would get resistance to cold while holding it.
Oh.
Useful.
If you take more than 10 damage of this type from a single source after applying the resistance, the rose disintegrates and you take no damage instead.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
But then you don't have it anymore. As an action, you can blow the petals from the rose to produce a 20-foot cone of cold as dictated by the rose's damage type, blah, blah, blah. Each creature in the cone must make a DC 15 Constitution saving throw or take 3d10 damage cold for you on a failed save or half on a successful one. Using this property destroys the rose.
Yeah, it's fragile, but, you know, roses aren't really known for being very, you know, durable.
Just so you know, I found a site that had a list of every single D&D item in every book. That's what it's pulling from now. So instead of the, like, 300 or so, there's, like, I think, like, 5,000 or 6,000 items, something like that.
Oh, no.
So getting a much more variety than we did in the past.
So somebody's going to get a bag of ball bearings?
No, I only took the wondrous magic items. No mundane items. All right. And last but not least.
2.
It's a wand, so you probably... I'll tell you what it is, and you can decide whether or not that sounds like something useful to you.
Okay.
Because anyone can use a wand, technically. But if it seems stupid... Mm-hmm. Let's see what it does. the wand of conducting. Conducting.
So like a.
The wand has three charges. While holding it, you can use an action to expend one of its charges and create orchestral music by waving it around. That's what I was thinking. The music can be heard out to a range of 60 feet and ends when you stop waving the wand. The wand regains all expended charges daily at dawn. If you expend the wand's last charge, roll a d20 on a 1. A sad tuba sound plays as the wand crumbles to dust and is destroyed.
Oh, okay. So it lasts until you roll a 1?
Basically.
Right.
So, like, you have X number of charges. So,
you
say
you have 3 charges a day.
3 charges. And if you only use 2 of them, then you don't need to worry about it. But if you use 3 in a day, then you have to roll. And if you get a 1,
it's exactly. Only if you expend the last charge do you have to roll the d20.
Oh, sweet. I'm going to definitely keep that. That's okay. A distraction.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, once I read it, I'm like, no, Jen's going to want this.
I could also help what's his name with, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, backup accompanying.
Backup.
Yeah.
Music.
And just for Fiznik, in case he comes back, we'll give him a magic item that was given to him from the collection of the Gray Fae. How's that sound, Fiznik?
Sounds good. I got a 12.
A potion of comprehension.
Ooh.
Potion of comprehension. When you drink this potion, you gain the effect of comprehend languages spell for 1 hour. This liquid is a clear concoction with bits of salt and soot swirling in it. This potion is relatively easy to make, blah, blah, blah. So you gain the ability to comprehend language for 1 hour if you drink that.
Okay.
And, of course, that's one-time use.
Okay. That works.
Awesome. Okay, and with that, I feel like we officially ended the Ladul Pulp part of our adventure.
Hooray!
Yay!
So you guys leave the Kuotoa Cave. It's starting to get dark. You need to eat somewhere. And you see in what was an empty part of the plaza a place that looks kind of like a pirate ship. It's a literal pop-up pirate-themed tavern. It is a converted portable castle designed to look like a ship. This one is titled One-Eyed Jacks. And it's a 2-for-1 deal tonight because they just opened.
Wait, this is a restaurant?
Yeah, it's a tavern.
In our town?
In this, the seaport town that you're in.
Oh, seaport town, okay.
Do you think they have samosas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you have to find out.
Samosas. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll let us throw peanut shells on the ground?
What do you think the dress code is? I'm worried.
Everybody has to have a wooden leg.
Oh. All right. Let me get my belt. Tie off my leg here. All right.
I'll get my sword. Wait, what do I have?
You have a mace. It's not going to be a smooth removal.
Wait. No, don't do it. No.
Right. Change my mind.
I should take the belt off my leg. That's going to hurt. It's a real weird way to do the stranger.
Jesus.
That's horrifying. I hate it.
All right. So you head towards the One-Eyed Jack's place. The entire building curves in a way that evokes the feeling of being on the lower deck of a ship. There are black flags with Jolly Roger on them.
Did you say the floor was curved or the ceiling was curved?
The like walls kind of curve like the inside of a ship.
She got curves. She thick.
But is the floor flat?
Yeah, it's like okay. As if there was a lower deck kind of a thing.
Okay, I just don't want to fall. I don't want Navi and Rinna to fall down because
no, it's a restaurant, so they need a place to put the tables.
Okay, that's
fine. They're just enough for that. Just enough of them for it to devolve into unintentional parody. Cages on the wall appear to hold parrots, but closer examination reveals them to be stuffed. Lucky adult customers are handed a small flinty steel.
Rita thinks that's really, like, Rita thinks they're very cute.
Yeah, Byron is kind of like, oh, wow, this is super cool.
Because Rita is in training to be a druid, BT dub, so she thinks they're really cute.
Yeah. Lucky adult customers are handed a small flint and steel with One-Eyed Jack's logo etched upon it, while nice. Children are sat at a table where they carefully color and decorate flimsy eye patches.
Mom, I'm too old for this.
Byron surreptitiously pockets one. And the little pack, you know how they have like that pack of four crayons? Yeah. At, like Denny's or whatever. He pockets that too.
Hey, my kid friend over here, he didn't get a patch or crayons, can you?
Me neither. Okay.
So a guy, Kai, comes up to you. He says, "Welcome to One-Eyed Jack's. My name is Bygrush Weepthrude."
Okay. I back up and I freak out and I put a sword to his throat and realize what I've done. What the hell? Who are you? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Scared of pirates.
He is completely decked out in the corporate approved flair. He has an eye patch, a fake hook, and two layers of vests. Does you all probably have a passive perception higher than 13, right?
I'm sure I do.
No idea.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
It is 13.
All right, and I have a feeling you're probably the lowest one. So it's very obvious that the hook is covering his real hand and that beard is glued on.
Yeah, because it's perception is wisdom, and my wisdom is
garbage. Oh.
Yar, welcome!
Here. He's just a pirate's helper. I got it.
Here's a crayon, and here's your eye patch, Yar. Welcome aboard the crew. Let me get you to your seat, Yar. And he's got, like, a fake peg leg, and you can see, like, it's just attached to his knee, and he's got, like, his foot, like, he's trying to have it tied up, but it's not quite right. So he's trying to, like, cover it with the tails of his pirate coat.
Hey, friend, my friends over here will help you out if you want to make that real. Just so you know, they're about to chop my leg off a minute ago.
Oh, it is real. I'm a real pirate.
I mean...
Friend is like, not sure. All.
My passive perception is pretty high, whatever that means. So I'm pretty sure you're not a real pirate. That's fine.
So he takes you to your table, sits you down, and says... All right, but you gotta answer a question from each of us in order to get your meal.
My riddle's three.
So here we go. Here's my question for you. Why is being a pirate so addictive?
Because there's always a monkey on your back?
Anyone else want to answer?
Let's see. Hold on. Crack. Something about crack. No, crack doesn't exist in this universe.
Don't make crack jokes.
He says, because when you lose your hand, you get hooked. And he, like, waggles his fake hook at you guys.
Oh, huh. And that's he accidentally props right?
it when he does that and picks it back up.
Wow. He's not even a good pirate's helper.
He says, "Your server will be with you. His name is LeChucky."
LeChucky?
Oh, I forgot to show you what.
Is this a French pirate restaurant?
Or LeCharlie, sorry. So here's what Bygrush Weep Through so looks good. Like.
Okay. Yes.
I spent way too much time finding these pictures. Yep, so, of course, Bygrush leaves you some menus.
Of course.
So, feel free to look at the menus. Jeff, did you have anyone? Was it a patron or employee?
Yeah. I'm thinking like a guy who's, you know, you said it's a pop-up restaurant, right?
Yeah.
So he's clearly here for the experience.
Oh,
he does
no.
not know what he's gotten himself into.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Gary.
All right. You are Gary is sitting at the table right next to these guys.
And all
I
right.
feel like Gary's a very gregarious fellow.
Gregarious?
Gregarious. Or Gary, I don't know. He's sitting at the table. You're the kind of guy that everyone else at the restaurant hates who turns around and always has to talk.
Oh, God.
As if you've been close friends for years.
Yeah.
You're also the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh,
if you don't know what I mean,
what you mean.
You soon will.
You soon will. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a threat? I never thought about that.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm going to laugh at your funeral, bitch. I think it's kind of.
It's a Canadian threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well, only because... be laughing at a funeral. Probably my mom's.
I'm going to take you for coffee at Tim Hortons and then tell you all about it. Explain it to you.
I forgot about the menu, so let me give that to you here real quick.
So you guys can order properly. I'm hoping there's a kids menu, because you know I'm ordering the kids menu.
See if it'll let me paste it directly in here. Let's see.
Is there a blooming turnip? That's my other question.
There we go.
Actually, I don't mind.
We'll make it a little bigger so it's easier to see.
Yeah, that's impossible to see, if I may.
I mean, you can zoom in, but...
No, I can't. I don't know how that works. Go. I don't know computers.
Arugula salad.
A Vastere sampler. We got the tomato soup. Watery gravy and biscuits.
Oh my god.
Davy Jones latke. Shiver meat embers. Charred to the starboard.
The shivered meat embers, is that
sounds
charred?
Sounds like there's a lot of burnt meat.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, burnt ends.
Para tattooey. Walk the flank steak.
Oh, I hate
Dead man's pesto. Yo ho pho and a bottle of rum. That's the main courses. Drinks, they have the black beer down the thatch, a black tall swine, the jolly lager, a yard of ale. And then the kids menu, we've got crackin' noodle soup, give no quarter pound burger.
Nice.
Ahab and cheese sandwich. Aww. We got a hot scurvy dog. And then for dessert, we've got a key blimey pie, yogurt parlay, and chips ahoy.
You know, I don't know that I've ever really... Have I ever really determined what it is that Navia eats, if whether it's a carnivorous...
I think it's oats. I think you have a feed bag.
She really likes chia seeds.
Hay is for her.
Yeah.
As you guys are looking at the menu... LaCharlie shows up. He says, it's an older gentleman, as you can see. Yar, welcome to One Eye Jack's.
Oh, God damn it. And I put a sword to his throat again. And... Sorry. Every Look, you shouldn't sneak up to people on people like that.
Hand me your sword, man.
Here, take it.
I was in Wings of Blood.
Is that a band?
It was a stage production of Strahd.
Hmm.
If you want to roll, bards roll with advantage.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go? Oh, I gave it to Jen.
You can use Google. Lish.
No, it's fine. 19.
You've actually, despite everything, you've actually heard of that stage play, and it actually, you know that it got really good reviews.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are you the LaCharlie? Was that the name you went by when you were in this play?
I will, because you rolled well. Okay. Yes.
I saw you. I was thrilled to see. I'm a bard. You know, most people don't know
you understand
that thing like ever. But yeah, I'm a big fan. Sorry for the
starts whispering because you know the supervisor's kind of watching from the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do this, but you gotta pay the bills somehow.
Fair enough. I know it's hard. It's hard to make a living as an artist. Boy, oh boy, you gotta do what I do.
What do you do?
Oh, I steal shit. I mean, I save lives, okay, and I wish gods into existence and shit like that. But I steal a lot.
That sounds a bit rich for my blood. I'm pushing 25. City miles. Okay. Well, I have to do the thing, all right?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, real quick. Yeah. It's Grin's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Oh God. No, it's not.
Happy birthday from One Eye Jacks to you. Really hope you have a happy birthday, too. Hey!
Wait.
That's good. That's almost as good as the show.
Even if it's free, can you just instead put it on his tab? I need a yard of beer. Thanks.
All right, you ready, guys?
Yeah.
What has 8 hands, 8 legs, and 8 eyes?
4 people?
I hate riddles so much.
8 pirates.
Okay. Pretty good.
Okay.
Guys, this is
so have you so have you guys decided what you want to eat yet?
Huh. Do you do burritos or I know I got the menu here, but you got any off menu stuff that back special stuff?
No, this is what we have.
All right. I'll have that 3 hot scurvy dogs, if I could. I'm gonna have the vast array sampler, and I will also have a yard of ale, please.
You, and he looks at Elishana.
Sounded really good. Can you meet them again? He just throws it at me.
He throws the menu at you.
Rude. Oh, I think I'll try the vast array sampler.
Anything to drink with that?
Oh, yeah. The
I'm
what's
just
in
imagining
the blacktail swine.
What's that?
What's in the blacktail swine?
Pig juice, I don't know. I just served. It's my first day. We just popped up.
Just popped up? You learned that song fast. How many birthdays have you had today?
So we popped up this morning, so a lot.
A lot?
You look around, you see there's just a ton of kids here.
It's all birthdays.
It's all birthdays.
Even Fesnik, or not Fesnik, Greg. Yeah. Gary.
Gary.
All right, and he looks at Grin.
Who is not grinning?
Can I have Paratatouille, an Ahab and cheese sandwich, but with no Ahab,
okay,
and another yard of beer?
And Byron orders the Davy Jones latke. And then he says, and I'll also have a yard of ale.
No, you won't. You want some pie?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess water. You look at Nadia. You?
Navi will have the walk the flank steak.
Nice.
Anything to drink?
No.
Okay, and he turns to Rinna and you.
She'll have the give no quarter pound burger.
And water. Because apparently the kids don't get drinks.
I lied. Navi will have the black tall swine as well.
Okay.
They all get watered down ale.
Yeah.
Or rum.
Small beer.
All right. Your order will be out soon. And he walks away.
All right, Freya.
Gary is played by Richard Kind, by the way.
Okay. Nice. Well, so they place their order. It's going to be a minute. This is Gary's chance.
Have you guys tried the latkes? The latkes are amazing. You should try the latkes.
Byron's like, I'm getting the latkes.
Oh, good, good. Are you folks from out of town? I'm from just over there. I heard they were opening this shop, and I just had to come figure out what all the excitement was about.
Brian looks at everyone. He's just like, they're kind of doing the whole thing, like where they put their like hand over their eyes, like you know, like when you're, you know, headphones on. Yeah. Elishana's probably got her earmuffs.
That only keeps out my...
Yeah, we're from Blackpool. We're from pretty far away.
Blackpool? Oh, yeah. Gotcha. That's so far away. What brings you all the way over here to... wherever the hell we're at?
If Richard Kind is from Minnesota.
Minnesota, eh? Yeah. Let's see. Where were you? Lethtarl's Lantern.
What brings you all the way out here to Les Charles Lantern?
I heard there was a pile of twine around here somewhere.
Oh, yeah. They take it off the boats every day.
Also, we fought a giant jellyfish that was projected by fish people.
Oh. Okay.
We made a god.
You seem suddenly sullied and unusual about these people. You made a god?
Well, it was an accident.
Yeah, he was coloring earlier and then some beer spilled on his, you know, pirate placement.
No, about the worm guy.
Yeah, it was a really nice drawing, too.
Oh, and you must be his older sister?
Sure. I wink at Byron and shrug, so I hope I didn't hurt his feelings.
As Izakin, a serving wench comes up to you, or at least, you know, a gal dressed like a serving wench, as they do in this place, named Elaine Marley. Oop. Oh, don't let Gary bother you. He's been here all day. Yar. My name's Elaine, and she's carrying all the plates, you know, waitress style, right? And she's like, all right, let's see here. She puts down in front of what's his name. You had the three dogs, the vast array, and the yard veil. Here you go. There's a to Navia. Thank you. You had the walk the flank, and here's your swine. And Rinna, here's your burger. And he turns to Byron. Here's your latkes and pie and a glass of water. Turns to Grin. Here's your paratatouille. He's your Ahab. I put the Ahab on the side just in case someone else here wanted it. I didn't want you guys to get ripped off by not getting any Ahab. And then here's your yard as well. I'm not going to ask you a goddamn question. I got the job here because I think, the pirates and nautical stuff is really cool and I've been studying it, and I guess I didn't understand what kind of establishment this is going to be. I feel like I've unlearned things working here. But the people here are cool, so, we got that going for us. I'll ask you a trivia question instead. What is the name of the Skull and Crossbones pirate flag? The proper name?
Jolly Roger?
You got it! Tell you what, give you a discount on everything.
Thanks.
And also, you guys all get an inspiration next time.
Ooh, why?
It's just part of the thing, because she likes you guys.
Oh, cool.
So, she winks and walks away, leaving you to your food. As you guys are, nomming and all that jazz, you see all of a sudden a dwarf stands on a table and just kind of shouts out, calling for attention. Listen well! For 2 years, I had the honor of serving on the good ship, the Bold Beard's Pride. Second in command to Bold Beard himself, the finest pirate to ever sail the sunless sea. Hear this shanty, and if it moves ye, toss a copper or two into an old pirate's hat. They do have an MP3 if you guys give a shit, but I will read it as a poem, because I don't know the tune. But he sings the shanty of Bold Beard's Pride.
It's set to the tune of We Built This City on Rock and Roll.
Hearken here, hearken close, listen well unto my tale. Blow high, blow low, and so sail we. It's of the Captain Boldbeard and the mighty ship he sailed, sailing through the Underdark across the sunless sea. He was a daring pirate with a faithful, trusty crew. Blow high, blow low, and so sail we. The ship, it was the finest, loaded down with dwarven brew, sailing through the Underdark across the sunless sea. By cutlass and by cantrip, they took treasure by the fray. Blow high, blow low, and so sail we. And in the secret mithril mine, they hid their prize away, sailing through the Underdark across the sunless sea. But the life of a pirate is hard and is fast. Blow high, blow low, and so sail we. Another of their number caught up with them at last, sailing through the Underdark across the sunless sea. Before the fabled mithril mine, the devils searched in vain. Blow high, blow low, and so sail we. For the spirit of the captain had not departed from our plane, sailing through the Underdark across the sunless sea. They say the gold is out there now, and the mighty ship sails still. Blow high, blow low, and so sail we. It's time to make them both our own, so away now with the will, sailing through the Underdark across the sunless sea. And everyone
that was claps. Beautiful.
Do anyone toss some coppers?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Gary throws like 5.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I've always wanted to go to the Underdark. It's so rude.
So, and then he sits down and just keeps talking, though. He's like, when the pirates attacked our ship, I was ordered to flee to spread our story. Boldbeard's ghost haunts the ship still. The vessel, the mithril mine, and the treasure will go to any crew savvy and brave enough to venture into the Underdark and unseat those rogues from the Boldbeard's Pride. I even have a map, an enchanted map in my possession. It always leads to the ship, giving you a fair shake at claiming it, but I only part with it with those who prove they are sharp of mind. And then with that, he starts moving around the room, holding out his hat for tips.
Hey, it's me. Sits in the corner booth. I'm sharp in mind.
Who are you now?
Yeah.
Well, Perhaps a game of dice will decide whether or not you're sharp.
What are dice now?
Dice isn't exactly a mental game.
It's a, you know, little cubes.
You're smart enough to cheat at them, it is. Huh.
Well, I mean, that's a good point.
Huh. You know, if you had a dice that came up whatever number you were thinking about.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it has the actual game here.
Okay.
So we could either next time actually play the game and see what happens, or we can just kind of roll some dice to figure out how the game goes. What would you guys prefer?
It might be cool to see this thing in action.
Cool. And then I can send you the rules. That way you can kind of see what's up.
Nice. Cool.
All right. So you guys kind of go over and he puts some dice on the table. They look exactly like the die that Grin has in her pocket. Uh-huh. She totally forgot about.
Nice.
And he says, "All right, let's play."
After receiving their wishes and losing track of Fiznik, our party visited a pop-up pirate tavern, but learned of a real pirate treasure. Will they win the pirate map? Will they find the ghost ship? Will the Charles ever get back on the big stage? Find out next time on Of Dice and Dens, The C-Team.